She was watching the testimonies and seeing the lame walking and the blind seeing and all this stuff. And so she sends me a message and she says, I want to go on your next mission. And I'm like, sure. Like, yeah, right. Well, about 2 weeks beforehand, she sends me a message and she says, now, where do I meet your team? She said, even if you say no, I'm coming. And those of us who know her, she would. She's just kind of person. And so I contacted the Destiny pastors and I said, hey, can we add two people to our team? They said, sure, like from your church. I said, no, they're Filipino. Oh, what church do they go to? And I said, INC, in dead silence on the phone. And Pastor Ariel goes, now you do know that's a cult, right? I'm like, yeah, so? And Pastor Jana says, well, that sounds like Pastor Mike, that he'd bring two people from a cult on his mission trip. So I did. And they got rocked. And they experienced the Father's love. Well, one morning, I think I was sitting with Abby, and we're at breakfast, and Jenny comes in, and she says, I got a question. I said, what? Is there a 1 Corinthians 16:14? I'm like, I don't know, maybe. She goes, because I kept hearing that all night long in my head. So let's look. And what 1 Corinthians 16:14 that God was telling her is, let everything you do be done in love. Which was our goal when we left. Let everything we do be done in love. And she goes, I can't ever remember any of the young people having Bibles in my church. I don't think they were allowed to have them. And they weren't. Because if you'd read the word, your eyes would be open and the truth would set you free. And they couldn't be controlled anymore. So it's kind of funny. That was our theme. And so that was the first verse, 1 Corinthians 16:14. And that's for Jenny. And we're believing that she's going to be healed. And so is her cousin. And that God's just going to do amazing things. Amen? Well, why do we share testimony? First of all, let me talk to you. We share testimony, and for those sharing testimony, your testimony is important because it will sustain you in difficult times. You have to remember what God has done so that you have the faith to believe what God's going to do. When David had to face Goliath, he had a testimony of the lion and the bear, which gave him confidence to face a Goliath. And then that Goliath gave him a testimony for the things he would face as a king going on and on throughout his life. The second reason we share testimony is because it encourages other people that God is still alive and God is moving. And in the Message Bible in John, 1 John 1:3-4, it says, we saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you, so you can experience it. I was thinking, we saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you, so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. So as your family shares what happened in the Philippines, may it encourage you, because they wouldn't have gone if you wouldn't have sent them. And so the things they share, thank you, and it's your reward too. Amen?
I know. Okay. Hi. One of my favorite moments from the mission trip was when we went to the slums one day. It was one of our first days going to do mission work. And we got there in our trikes, and some of us split off to go pray for the people in the houses, and then some of us stayed to play with the kids. And it really impacted me because I saw how they lived, and it wasn't very good at all. They didn't have really sustainable houses, and their shower was from a pump, like the well thing. And it hit me because I'm here in America, and I have so much things that I'm so ungrateful for, and it really made me, like, it touched my heart because they were so happy when we got there and they had nothing. They, like, we got there and their smile, their faces lit up, and it was, I don't know, it made me feel really bad because I'm just over here, like, complaining, and they're over in the Philippines enjoying their life, and even though they have nothing, and that's what I took out of the missions trip.
Okay, so the Philippines was amazing. It was an amazing experience with amazing people. So my highlight, my highlighting part in the Philippines, or like my favorite part, was so it was a long day. We got up at 7 o'clock, worked the whole day, and then it was 7 o'clock at night. We went to this upper room. We traveled like 30 minutes to get there. And when we got there, I was like, oh my goodness, why are we here? Like, I'm so tired, I need to take a nap or something. And yeah, so we got there, and it was burning hot. Like, it was so hot, everyone was sweating, and I was like, oh my goodness, like, I can't do this, this is crazy. I need to go to sleep or something. And I was just complaining the whole time, and when the worship started, they all started jumping up and down, all the people who were there, and they just had this fire for God, and I was just like, man, like, I'm here complaining about how hot it is, and, like, they don't even have AC, and they're already, like, jumping up and down and all that stuff, just praising God, and I was just like, man, I need to do that. I need to stop complaining and just, you know, just worship God, be in His presence, and, yeah, like Diana was saying, like, we complain so much about the little things, but, like, they don't have anything. They don't have AC in a lot of places. And, yeah, and they're just on fire for God. And I'm just like, man, what if that came to Harvest? Like, what if we just stopped and just stayed in His presence for a while and just worshiped Him? And, yeah, that was my highlighting experience.
Before we left for Makati, we went to a church that was downstairs, and before we started, like, the whole soaking and worship and sessions and stuff, the pastor was like, go find someone and pray for them. And I'm, like, really uncomfortable with that because I can be really awkward sometimes. So I was like, no, why does this have to happen? And so I found someone. She's a nice lady. Her name's Atta Daisy, and she's pregnant, and we prayed for each other, and then that was that, and I was like, phew, thank goodness that is over with, because it's awkward. And then we started worship, and then I heard God, and He was like, you're not done. Just when I thought I was done, He was like, no, you're not done. And in the corner, there was a painting station for prophetic art, so I went over there. And He told me to go paint a white flower with a yellow middle, but I was like, it's so basic, though, like, what difference? It has no significance. And then I went over there, and Anne Marie gave me a word. She said, simple is beautiful. And so I painted it. And then towards the end, I gave it to her, and she started crying, and I didn't really know its significance, but see the music notes on the painting? Apparently her husband is a drummer and she's a singer, which I didn't know. And like, the painting just represented everything that she wanted her child to be. And I found her on Facebook and I saw a post, and she posted this picture, and she said that this is a flower that her husband gave her every day. And that was the painting that I made. And it was amazing. I was like, this is crazy. Yeah.
Good morning. My testimony, like, my takeaway was kind of a weird one. There was a day they took us out to get some fried chicken to eat, and fried chicken. Yeah, sorry. Okay, so we had this, I had this I have this thing where I can't eat gluten, and so this particular day I thought that the coating on the outside of the chicken was rice, and it turned out to be flour, so I ended up getting a little bit sick from it. And so the next day, like, I still wasn't feeling 100%, so they left me at the hotel all day, and then they went out and did ministry. I think it was one of the days that they went to a school. And so I come back, though, or they came back pretty late that day, and they brought me some soup. Because they were like, Matt's not feeling well. Let's bring him some soup. So, I find out that God even used, like, me getting sick on the trip to bless someone, because they had gone to this place to get some soup, and while they were in line, there was this lady there, and they were able to minister to this lady, and it ended up being this complete God encounter where this lady was, like, it was one of the darkest nights of her life, and they were able to minister to her and encourage her. And, God... they wouldn't have been there if I hadn't gotten sick that day. And so I just think it's amazing how God uses really everything that happens for the good. And so that was kind of my takeaway.
Probably my biggest highlight of the trip was the first day we went to the slums. We got there and we rode in on trikes. It's like a motorcycle with a cart attached to it. And
heroes,
yeah, it was a lot of fun, and we got there, and just seeing the kids when they saw us, their smiles, it was incredible. We got there, we brought out a ball, and we would just play catch with them, and the smile on their faces, it was really indescribable. That they are so happy with what they have, and their faith, and everything that they... It's just, it really showed me that that's the kind of faith we're supposed to have. Even when we have nothing, we rejoice. But when we have something, then we know what it is to have nothing. And that was really incredible for me. And God showed me during that time that for me, to fulfill me, that I don't really have to do anything that helps me personally. As long as I'm helping other people, that's enough to fill me. And that was... my highlight. Amen.
Awesome. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
I'm Michael. Okay, so I had a lot of amazing things happen to me on this trip, but one in particular was one night when we were worshiping and there was the prophetic painting station. I saw Jasper and everyone painting over there. And I was thinking that it'd be really cool if I was able to paint a prophetic painting. So I prayed about it, and I asked God, and he said to paint a painting of one island and another island connected by a red bridge. And the symbolism for it is one island is barren, and it's polluted, and all the grass is dying. And then there's a bridge that connects to another island that's green and lush and alive. And the meaning behind it is the barren island is where you start off, and then Jesus came down to earth, and he died for our sins, and he represents the bridge to the green, lush, alive area, which is heaven. So, and I remember God was very specific in saying that the bridge had to be red. And the reason behind that is because the red of the bridge represents the blood of Jesus when he was crucified, and then we could then move on to heaven. So after I was done painting, God told me to give it to Jenny, which Pastor Mike mentioned earlier, because she had recently gotten saved. And that's an entirely other story, but long story short, like, the way she got saved, she got saved by translating how to get saved. Which...
she was my translator. If you want to share the gospel with somebody who doesn't know Jesus is in a cult, have them translate the gospel to other people.
So yeah, that's how it happened.
Good job. Okay. Hello. So, I got the privilege to meet a girl named Abby in the slums, And I just got to love on her and hug her and just holding her, you know. And she held me as well because it was a hug. And just her holding me as well so strongly, it kind of showed me that maybe she likes hugs, or maybe she just doesn't get held a lot, and she really needed that. And just the privilege to be able to hug her. And we already got a prophetic word that, you know, you will go to the Philippines and you will hold people, and that will mean a lot to them. So just the littlest act of kindness, of God's love, will just power through, and it will just do amazing things for God's kingdom.
Hi. So the entire trip was incredible, and God just completely changed my heart while on this trip. But one significant highlight for me was we were at a school for children with disabilities, such as autism, deaf, being blind, and just learning disabilities, or ADD or ADHD. And, you know, I wasn't feeling too good that day. I was really tired, I had a headache, and I didn't really want to be there. And we got to the school, and we sit down, and they bring in all the kids, and they sit them down, and my heart just breaks as I look around, because I see all these children who are happy, and they're smiling, and they're laughing with joy. And it was one of those moments when I realized, why can't I be that joyful? What's wrong with me? Why can't I have the joy when I have things that they don't? And I asked God, you know, like, what's the difference? Why are we even here? And as we get up and we go and pray for these people, I pass by some of the team who are praying for this boy, and he's blind, and he's curled up, and he's crying, and he's just rocking himself back and forth, saying, what a privilege to be a Christian. And he is just sobbing his eyes out, thanking God for dying on the cross for his sins. And he keeps repeating over and over and over what a privilege it means to be a Christian. And that really resonated with me. And I told God, I get it now. I get what it means to be a Christian. You can be a church anywhere. You can love anywhere. But what a privilege to be able to serve God and to be a Christian. That was my trip.
Had a blessing to share. Okay. I have so many amazing life-changing experience that happened in the Philippines. By me just going was a miracle. And I, one time, we were in this school where we giving gift packs, and was we will have these lechons, and they were encouraged us to give prophetic words with pictures to the moms or the little boys. And in one of those, they gave me a prophetic little car, so to pray about it and to give it to somebody. But in the middle of that, the Lord keeps telling me, do you see the guy over there? I was like, yes. Go tell him Kung Fu Panda. I was like, Lord, I'm doing something here. We need to follow the rules. Yeah, we need to obey. And he's like, no, go tell him Kung Fu Panda. I was like, so I was just like, maybe it's my imagination, because no disrespect, that, you know, he kind of looked like the main guy. And I thought it was my dad, so I was like, no, I had to pray about it. So I went to the hotel, and the Lord deal with me before I went to sleep, and he was just telling me, like, you trust me, you just go say Kung Fu Panda. I say, that's it? No, a Bible verse, or tell me like Corinthians, like, tell me. He's like, no. I say, okay, I promise you, I'm going to tell him next time I see him. But I really thought I was not going to see him. So 2-3 days later, we went to another place, and we reunited the team. So we went to this place where they're eating dinner. We walked in, and they were right there eating, him and his wife. And I just knew. I was like, okay. So I just went there, and I started sweating like crazy. Not only for the heat. And I said, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, Paul. May I give you a word? And he was like, one moment. So he's keep finishing eating, and he said, okay, I'm ready to receive. So I was telling, I put off the Kung Fu Panda to the end, and I started telling him all the things that the Lord was saying, and he didn't react, his wife neither. So I was like, oh, the Lord said, just say it. I was like, okay, Kung Fu Panda. He says that you guys are like the Kung Fu Panda, and I don't even remember the main character. And they say, Paul. Oh, yes. He say, you are like Paul. And the wife starts smiling. And I say, and so the Lord keeps saying to him, and I feel this is for somebody else in the house too, that the Lord says, you sometimes people see you as how they may maybe see only the cover of who you are, but they don't see that you're a mighty warrior for God. And like Paul, he was a mighty warrior, and nobody really looked that on him. And the Lord said that he was going to bring all these different people, equipped differently, look differently to his ministry. And all this. So I started like kind of like, I didn't see any reaction. So I say, you guys, may I ask you, is this for you? And the wife is still saying, oh my gosh, I call him Paul all the time, and we love Kung Fu Panda. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, so what I learned is that no matter what the Lord entrusted, you just go and deliver it. You know, we are the messengers, and we collaborate with him, and we bring blessings for his kids. And we are his children, and we have the honor and privilege to just bring the good news, no matter what it is. Even if it's just Kung Fu Panda, just go ahead and do it. In Jesus' name.
Hi, good morning. Yeah. There's so many things to share with this, the mission trip that we have, and so much. And the thing that I really treasure was the soaking time, and the church that we partner with, they humbled us. You know, they love us. It's awesome. It's beyond words how they relate to us. And I think that's how church should be. And even though they have different churches, it's the same thing. They treat you as a family, and the way they love you, it's really overwhelming. And when we got there, we were sent out right away. We have 2 days of preparing us. You know, they're praying over us. They're, you know, prophesying to us, and we have a lot of time soaking. And during one of those times, when we were soaking, we were singing, My Heart Burns for You. And I hear and I see the word Redeemer. And then I see this, like a big mountain of garbage, trash. And I see a lot of kids digging through it, and as we're singing, My Heart Burns for You. And so I see on the other side, because there's a fist that is being prepared. And so when we went out to the ministry, We were at that upper room that they were saying was too hot, and we're literally soaking, you know, soaking spiritually and physically. We are soaking. And Pastor Mike delivered a message about your request to God. And so he had everybody to cry out to God our request. And then he made the team pray for everybody, and so we are praying for everybody, and it's people are just falling, you know, on the hard cement, and most of these kids are young kids, very young kids, and they're crying out to God. And I got the privilege to pray with this lady with the child, and so I was praying for her, and suddenly I felt this pain in my heart, and so it clicks on me, that's God. His heart burns for us. It burns for every child in you know, in that room, everywhere. So it's saying, you know, my heart burns for you. And he's saying there's a fist. Don't go through the garbage. Why go through the garbage and, you know, like on your own, with your own strength and everything, I have a feast for you. And so, and my take on this is, you know, God's heart for each one of us, it burns for each one of us, wherever we are, whatever state, you know, of in our lives we are. If we're here in the States, you know, with all the comforts, and even in the Philippines with, you know, most of the people doesn't have enough, His heart burns for them. And it's family. They are our family. And that's what is memorable too. We get to go to their houses, pray for them, hug them, because they are family. And we even had the privilege to, we went to like a funeral wake of one of the church member. And that's how family is. You know, we go there, we cry when they cry, we grieve when they grieve. And that's my take on this mission trip.
Hello, everybody. One thing that really sticks out to me is the team we went with. They're pretty much the most awesome teens and young adults, and I would go with them anywhere. I love them. So I was very blessed to be with them and see their hearts as they ministered. And also, another thing that stuck out to me is the teams before we came there, they prayed over us and didn't know what we looked like, just had our name assigned to them, and we got a prophetic painting from one of the groups. And then another time we got a prophetic picture from a different team in a different city. And I was really touched by that, because the prophetic picture especially, because without knowing anything about me, I was given a picture of a bridge, and it had kind of marked a season of my life and what God was doing in me. And I had had a dream 2 years ago with a bridge marking the beginning of that. And when I got this picture of a bridge, I realized that, you know, God was saying it's the end of that bridge, but you're heading into something different. And when I shared that with the girl who had given me the picture, she was so blessed to know that she had heard from God halfway across the world about some little American girl and what she's going through in her journey with God. And that was really cool to feel so connected with them. So.
I'm going to stitch together a couple of things, a couple of points, and if you want the longer version, we'll tell you later. But you can see all these young people here. Obviously, I'm a little older than they are, and my son's the redhead over there. So, you know, I didn't go on the trip, though, as a chaperone, and I didn't go on the trip as somebody to watch, you know, over my son. I mean, I did those things, too, but I went because God picked this trip for me a long time ago. And so that's a long story for another time, but I've been looking for a trip for 20 years, and you know, when you have kids, you can't just pick up and go anytime, so I just took him with me. So, but we were really struck by a number of things, but one of the many things was their community. And Auntie Josephine talked about it a little bit there, but they would, when they do communion, they break off the pieces of bread, they look you in the eye, and they say, "I will die for you." And then they say, "I will go hungry before you go hungry." And you could tell when you're looking them in the eye that they mean it. It was not just, "We're going to go to church and hang out, and no, it's time for lunch, I wish they'd hurry it up." You know, they're there, that covenant relationship is so deep and so tangible, and so what draws people to Christ? You know, how do they know we're Christians? By our love, right? And that kind of love is contagious, and so we were struck by that, and that's why they have churches in all these different places we went to, because they go from their main church where they started out, and they go to all these outreaches, and every place that we went to minister, and we went to a lot of different places that they've highlighted, they had already gone in first. So we weren't going in to do ministry. We were going in to partner alongside with what they were already doing. So one other little thing that struck me was one of the first things they did, they prepared us for 2 days. One of the things they did was took us to where their church began, which is at the University of the Philippines. And out in front of the library, we stood on the spot where they would come and pray. And they would come, they'd leave their house at 5 in the morning, they'd get there at 5:30, they'd pray till 8:30. And so I knelt down for a couple minutes on this, you know, stone, and I had all these dents in my legs just for 10 minutes. They were there for 3 hours, every day for 7 years. And I thought, God, I am such a wimpy Christian. I like, we sit and we go, we're going to pray for 5 minutes, and it seems long. 3 hours every day, 7 years. And, of course, you can imagine the revival that broke out of that. And then and all these churches sprung out of it. From just a few people, a handful of students, and who changed the world. They changed their world. They changed our world. And so that's the kind of walk I want to live here. It's the kind of commitment I want to have to the people around me. That's the kind of love that I want to show, so that it's contagious. So that that'll break forth here as well.
Good morning, church. So the common denominator in all the testimonies are we were fed before we go out. I've been to many medical mission trips. We come with medications, and of course we give them Jesus. At the end of the day, on those trips, I only hear a lot of miracle and healings because I was in dental. My miracle and healing in dental is I lay hands on them with my forceps, and the rotten teeth is gone. So. But on this trip, it's very special because we were fed first. So, yes, we come empty-handed in the physical, but we are spirit-filled. We give him Jesus. And to finish what Matt's story was just shared to you, that was him. That was the reason. That was God used him as the reason for us to stop. In the middle of the night somewhere, all four of us in the vehicle said, wait a minute, Matt didn't eat yet. As soon as we all realized that, late night, there's a soup place still open right at the next corner. So it's all God's plan. We went in there, and we're supposed to just be a quick to go. But we decided to sit down. Wait, I thought we were in a hurry. But we sat down, we had a little meal, and on the way out, this lady, blank stare, looking at her soup. And God told me, just lay hands on that lady. Just tell her I know her heart's desire. So I lay hands on the lady, and I said it all in Tagalog, just want to make sure she gets the message. But I'm sure God said, say it in English, it's still happening. So I lay hands on her and said, Mom, God knows your heart's desire. And she just started bawling. And she just shared with me what happened that day. The brother had a stroke and still unconscious. And God clearly told me, this is the best thing. You've seen miracles happen, but this miracle happens, I know, and I didn't see it. As I was laying hands on her and praying for a miracle, Jesus actually said, your brother will wake up the next morning. Jesus even told me 12:01. This is close to midnight. So I see peace, I see calm, the aura changed. As soon as we walk out, I was looking at her, and she was killing that soup. She knew, we both knew, that her brother was healed.
Amen. I'm going to have Joshua come join me, and thank you, team. You can go take a seat. And I want to just wrap this up real quick and tie it together and then allow you just to receive from the Lord this morning. When I was a small boy, my grandfather, he had this really unique little chair, stool thing. It was a three-legged stool with a cowboy seat on it, like a, you know, a saddle. So you'd sit in this saddle and it had the three legs, and it was everybody wanted to sit on this three-legged saddle chair. And I was thinking about a three-legged stool this week. And it doesn't matter how good one of those legs are. If one of them is missing, it falls over. It doesn't work. If two of them are amazing and one of the legs doesn't work, it falls over. And Destiny had a real simple vision. God and his presence, family and covenant, and the nations. It's real simple. It's a three-legged stool. You know, it doesn't matter how missional you are. It doesn't matter how much you want to go do the Great Commission and open up blind eyes and deaf ears and just
preach the gospel and see everybody saved. If you don't have his presence. See, the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. If you're not connected to him, if you're not experiencing his presence, it doesn't matter how missional you are. It won't stand. And it doesn't really matter how much of his presence you have and how much you're seeking after him and soaking in his presence. If you're not connected to other people in the body of Christ in covenant community, I'm not talking about sitting in rows with them. I'm not talking about even going to a small group with them. I'm talking about being in such a relationship with those in the body of Christ when you break bread, I will die for you. I will go hungry to make sure you're fed. And it's not lip service. Those in destiny live that way. When I was there, my prophetic word by the pastor's wife, she lay hands on me. She says, Pastor Mike, you are family. Everything in our house belongs to you. The Philippines is your nation, and everywhere you step, God will give you in the Philippines. You are a part of us. No matter how cozy you are in your small group, no matter how committed you are to each other, no matter how much you worship and enjoy his presence, if you're not missional, you know what happens to bodies of water that just receive and don't flow out? They're dead seas. They're swamps. All they do is attract flies and stink and they smell. That is not God's vision for the body of Christ. Mission is not an obligation to go do something. It's an overflow of his presence and the commitment of family. My picture with two young people up there, they were gay. One was a lady boy. And when we checked in for the mission in this leopard's colony, and they checked me, and I could tell right away they were gay. Now, Pastor Nilo, he's really funny. He's not very politically correct. He says, hey, did you meet my gays? I'm like, so you got to be kidding me. Did you meet my gays? Yeah, I met them. Would you like to minister to them? Absolutely. So I sit down with Joey and his friend, and we're spending some time together just talking. I say, tell me about your encounter, because they have encounters. They used to be in the Vision years ago, the G12. Oh, man, it was amazing. Pastor, experiencing forgiveness because of the cross of Jesus, life-changing. To experiencing the Father's love through the teaching of the prodigal, never be the same. I'll never feel alone and rejected again. Since the encounter, the bondages have been broken off our lives of just drugs and alcohol. It's amazing. I said, can I ask you a question? They said, yeah. What about the sexuality teaching at the encounter? And Joey goes, oh boy. He goes, you know what, Pastor? I'm absolutely convinced that when it gets to the time where God asks me for that, my Father in heaven loves me so much. And my family, my life group, with God in them, I will walk free from that. And I will walk in victory. There will be nothing in my life that I will not be able to give to God ever because of his presence in my life and because of the commitment of my home group, my small group, my family. When they say covenant, they mean covenant with each other. It ain't a meeting anymore. It's like, I belong to you and you belong to me and we both belong to him. Now let's go tell the world about his love. We want to close the service today with how we started everything. You know, there's a mission out there. But if we don't have him. So we're going to quiet ourselves before the Lord. And Joppy's just going to lead some worship. And this is your time. The Father wants to spend a few minutes with you right now. He loves you so much. And it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter the junk in your life. He just says, come. I want to be with you this morning. So let's take a few moments and just be with him.
You're welcome to stay in your seats. You could stand. You could come up front. You could stay in the back. But I just encourage you to just take in God at this time. Spirit, come. God, we honor and glorify you tonight or today. With such gratitude in my heart, I'm here to thank you for all you are. You've been faithful all my days, in every season you remain. I will enter your gates with thanksgiving. Lord, I run into your arms. My lips will sing of your goodness, for your love illuminates my heart. And my lips will lavish praise upon you, for you are Emmanuel, God with us. God with search my heart and make it clean. Place the dirt with purity. For you resist the prideful, Lord. You call the humble, you restore. With thanksgiving, Lord, I run to your arms, Lord, and my lips will sing of your goodness, for your love illuminates my heart. My lips will, Lord, and my lips will lavish praise upon.
Matthew, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Father, I thank you that your arms are always open wide, waiting for us to come and sit with you and be with you. Thank you, Father, that you're not angry, you're not even frustrated, you're not even disappointed, you're just longing for us. Father, I pray that we would be people of presence, people who desire your presence more than breath itself. Father, I pray that each of us would find covenant community, real family in the body of Christ, real commitment to one another. And that the world we live in would see our love for each other, and they'd want to find a place at the empty seat in our families. Father, the Word of God says, freely you've received, now freely give. Father, forgive us for thinking mission was some burden or obligation, some heavy yoke, some ill-fitted something in our lives. May we come to you and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. May we walk out of this place today and just give your love away to the world we live in, a world who desperately needs you as their shepherd, because they're sheep wandering and so lost without hope. Lord, may we take the message of hope to a world who desperately needs it. God, I thank you for what you did in the Philippines. But I thank you for our home church harvest. I thank you for the nation we're in. Bless it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week in Jesus' name.